in February and is working now to make it safe enough to ramp up production again. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness has repeated as box office champ, taking in another $61 million in its second week in theaters. So far, the movie has made more than $500 million around the world. I'm Rich Dennison, and this is Fox News.
Here's your midday weather on KNTR Talk, brought to you by Wickersham Insurance Agency in Bullhead City. Call 928-758-7999. Look for sunny skies today. Winds picking up during the midday. Highs near 105 in the River Cities, 92 in Kingman. Southwest winds 15 to 25 miles per hour throughout the region. Relative humidity near 9%. Tonight, look for clear skies. Overnight lows in the mid-70s along the river, 64 in Kingman.
No one likes paying for insurance. What makes it easier is a smart, friendly agent. That's Chuck Wickersham. Over 30 years of insurance experience right here on the Colorado River. What does your family need? Life insurance? Renter's insurance? Car insurance? Wickersham Insurance Agency deals with over 50 insurance providers, finding you the best policy, best coverage, and best price. Call Chuck, 758-7999. Four locations from bridge to bridge, 758-7999.
It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show, 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance, and body slammed his way into immortality.
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
Welcome to Speak Out. It's Monday, May 16th, 2022, and my trusty sidekick is here, Brother Jim Russell.
And happy Monday to you.
Why do I have so much energy?
I don't know. What did you do this weekend?
Absolutely nothing. Actually, I went to Fort Mojave. I stayed the night. I did nothing, and it was everything I thought it would be.
Good.
Yeah, everybody knows how busy I am. At least those kind of close.
Was there no news, no weather, nothing that needed to be attended to?
I don't do news and weather on the weekends, and the sports was on autopilot with the with the Suns and the NHL and the Diamondbacks, and it was great.
Well, good.
It was great.
Nice to have kickback time, huh?
Yeah, every 6 months or so.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. When you do have time off, it's Black Cat X time.
Yes, and speaking of which, this weekend's going to be big time Black Cat X at the Black Cat Bar.
And where might that Black Cat Bar be?
Seligman, Arizona.
Boy, you're working your way up, huh?
we've been there before. We love playing there. The stage, there's a little outdoor stage. They even have a DMX controller for the lights.
Gosh.
It's crazy.
What a coincidence that you would find two bars with X in their names to play at.
Oh, right, the Flying X.
The Flying and now.
We're going back to June 15th, which is a classic rock night.
They've seen the error in their ways in not having you more regularly?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
They have a wide variety of bands and a lot of names that go in there. So, yeah, we're just privileged to be on the list, and thanks to Chewy. Right?
Chewy does a good job managing that operation.
Yeah, he absolutely does. So, anyway, thanks to them. I mean, we're just busy. We're
that's cool.
Having nothing to do this past weekend is going to, I'm going to wish I was in that situation, because Memorial Day weekend, we're at Havasu Landing. The following weekend is four shows in 3 days at Fox's and Parker. Then we're at a small bar in Bullhead City called the Sam Bar.
Uh-huh.
And then the Flying X. And yeah, it's just busy, right?
Yeah, very
good.
That's
how good. It works. And then very back good. To Seligman in July.
Huh.
Right. So there cool. you go. I know, wild.
Part of the big time band busier, world.
Busier than DSM. Busier than DSM right now.
Well, DSM gets a little quiet during the summer.
Right. Chief, how are you? Chief Doyle?
I am doing great. Thank you.
It's Chief Dan Doyle, Chief People Officer here, Lake Havasu City Police Department and Fire Department. How are you, boys?
Good.
Doing great. I'm just trying to figure out your plane in Seligman.
Yes. Yeah.
Seligman, the Black Cat and Seligman.
They found us on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, the name kind of matched up. They liked our classic rock blues and a little bit of country. So there you go. There's a lot of videos to see of us online, so you can figure out what you're getting, you know?
Yeah. Well, you get a lot of Havasu people up there, too, have property.
You do.
Yeah.
And especially the warmer it gets.
Yeah.
Warmer. Yeah. Right. And it's right there on Route 66. And there's a couple of good places to eat as well. You know.
Oh, yeah. Lilo's.
Yeah, Lilo's. It's like world famous now, right?
It's good food.
Right. And then one of our sponsors, Chad Hansen from Mojave Mortgage, he goes up there, takes the motorhome, and I think there's a KOA or something up there.
Right at the north, would be the east end of town.
Yeah, right. As you're leaving, right?
How do you know that?
Yeah, Chief Pete's looking at you like, how do you know that?
I memorize maps of cities.
Interesting hobby.
Yeah. Just a little some sideline that I do.
Thanks for good cocktail party conversation.
Because he doesn't believe in Google Maps, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. So pretty, I don't know, is it tame right now? Is it busy? What's going on in Havasu as far as police and fire?
Well, on the police side, it's busy. I mean, we've got a lot of people in town. You can just tell driving around town, the traffic's extremely heavy. So, been keeping us busy with, you know, we've had some incidences occurring with, shootings and such. There's just a lot of people in town kind of keeping us running.
You can adjust that like right here and it'll, no, I mean from the side. There you go.
Oh, thanks, Paul.
Yeah, bring that up down from the side. All right. Yeah, because everybody can see what's going on.
Right? Yeah.
That's the weird boom on that one. So, no, you had a little activity on Cinco de Mayo, maybe?
Yeah.
I know you had a Governor's Office of Highway Safety grant, right?
Yeah.
For special enforcement?
Yeah. So
were the numbers average? Were they higher, lower?
Pretty much what we're seeing. The interesting thing about Havasu is we have so many people in town. We're just seeing this high level of activity go on throughout the entire week, weekends, and the whole bit. But, yeah, the Governor's Office of Highway Safety grants, they give us every year to do extra enforcement, and we're using a lot of that right now just for traffic. Just to bolster our traffic enforcement, we're using it to fund overtime details to bring officers in on their days off and conduct traffic enforcement.
So you speak of it being busy. This is busier than the same period in previous years?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, significantly?
Yeah, yeah.
And well, what do we attribute that to? Is there anything? Does anything make any sense now?
You know, we've talked about this citywide quite a bit. You know, Havasu had a different experience through the whole COVID, couple years there with COVID, where everybody came to Havasu, and I think we're just still seeing that. We're seeing that strong influx. You know, when California shut down and Nevada shut down, we had all those people were coming here, And that just hasn't let up, even as those cities have those states have opened up. We're just still seeing this large influx of people.
They came, they saw, they liked.
They liked
and
it.
And they came back.
Who comes to Havasu and doesn't like it?
Yeah. I have a theory about that, too. You know, $6 gas prices in a gallon in California, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, $4.99 here?
Yeah. Just paid $4.99 on the
gas,
way here. Sure.
Yeah. I'm just saying. So you can get here on a tank of gas.
Yeah.
And then when you go to fill up, it's cheaper than filling up at home, right?
So let's see, what's that logic?
The logic is,
I was just nodding knowingly, like, but I really didn't.
Hey, laugh if you want, but when I get somewhere and it's cheaper to fill up and go home, I'm going to go there more often.
You think you got a bargain?
Cause but mentally you do.
Well, it's true.
I also think you've got the people that come here, that they come here all the time, and that's not going to slow them down. I think they're, you know, they've got a boat, and this is their major form of recreation that they come to Havasu, especially in the summertime. They're invested in the boat, and they're still
going
to
do it anyway.
They're going to do it anyway if they got to bite the bullet, and they're going to come.
Well, I'll tell you what: after spending time up in Fort Mojave, gas is 30 cents a gallon cheaper there.
Is it
30
really?
To 50 cents a gallon
cheaper in Fort Mojave?
And we're hearing about oil per barrel being over $110.
Wow.
But the prices haven't changed, have they?
Chief Pete, what do these added people do to your calls and things in your department? Are fire and rescue calls proportionately higher, like traffic and things seem
to
be?
Well, I have to say we're on pace with our average about 28 to 30 calls a day for EMS fire-related calls. And we've seen an increase, too, for calls for service. So is it that we have a lot more people here? Yeah, because then we also have other contributing factors of medical problems, vehicle crashes. We've had a couple structure fires in the last couple of weeks. So we are a busy department. And the thing is, those impacts obviously put a strain on our resources, too. But you can actually see, I've been here going on 2 years, and I've seen, like Dan has said, it feels like it's getting busier and busier. And we have another Memorial Day weekend coming up,
right.
And we're going to see that impact just on our resources. But, I mean, it's a beautiful city to come to. I mean, it's great. Just be safe. Respect it. You know, and we welcome you.
You had one of those structure fires that was unoccupied, right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking right away it's a rental property.
And it could be.
Like a Vrbo or an Airbnb, but.
Sure.
An unoccupied structure, how does that, how does a fire start in an unoccupied structure?
Well, that's a loaded question, Paulie.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, aren't they mostly caused by people that live in a home?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
It could be because of mechanical failure of air conditioning, rodents get in. I mean, let's just say there's a lot of problems that could happen, but you're absolutely right. The majority of fires do happen and occur because of human error or kitchen fires. It's a statistic.
Or people piling up oil rags, spontaneous combustion. I've seen that a lot.
Yeah, no, and that's true. It does happen. Some of them are unoccupied, and it's just good that no one got hurt. Nothing else spread to an adjacent structure. So, and we have, obviously, the best department to handle that. So
then, speaking of that, and response time and what have you with police and fire, a new 911 system is coming to Arizona, and Mojave County is going to be, unbelievably, one of the first because the supervisors funded the change. Tell us about this new 911 system. As far as I'm reading, it looks like we can share digital images even over this system.
Yeah, so there's a lot of capabilities that are going to come with the next gen. So kind of a little bit of back history on that. The way it works is the state funds a lot of the PSAP upgrades and provides money to all the PSAPs in the state, which are your dispatch centers. So in Mojave County, we have a committee of all the PSAPs. That's Kingman's, Bullhead's, Havasu's, and the Sheriff's Department. And the way that works is the state funnels money to that. So the county acts as the fiduciary for that. So the basically the money came from the state to the county, and now that PSAP committee, we trade off the chairperson of that amongst each of the entities, takes a two-year term as the chairperson. Right now it's Kingman. The city of Kingman has that chairman position, chairperson, I should say. But the county remains as the fiduciary. We need one entity to hold the money that that comes in from the state. So they're funding, the state is funding the actual NextGen, not the county, not, it's coming from the state. And what NextGen's going to do for us is it's an upgrade in technology. It's going to allow us to do a number of things like text to 911. Which we already do, but we have a separate program that does text to 911, a standalone separate program that we use here in Havasu. That's all going to be incorporated into NextGen. It's going to provide better tracking on cell phones. So you call 911 on a cell phone. It's going to allow us to track your location better of where you're at. Also, if you're moving, it allows the breadcrumbs approach kind of that tells us where you're at and moving.
Right.
So it's good. I mean, they're the state's doing all the training on the new system. So they're sending people in, like they've already sent AT&T into our dispatch center, begun all the wiring and prep for it. And then the state's going to come in and they're going to do all the training for our dispatch the same way they'll do in each of the other PSAPs.
So one big problem is like the person calling from Laughlin. That's a bad example. That's outside of Mojave County. Let's say Bullhead City. They go to are they going to go to a dispatch center that knows they're calling from Bullhead City now? Because a lot of times they don't.
Yeah. So, if you go a number of years ago, sometimes we were having like a cell phone, 911 calls would bounce all the way to California Highway Patrol.
Right.
Because one of our biggest problems that we run across on the river is being right across the river from California, is if we bounce a California tower, it routes it, you know, to San Bernardino or
the nearest system.
So we've come a long way from that, and it was put on the providers to actually fix that situation. So we've come a long way. So if you're within our region and you call 911, it comes to us. If you're out in the county, it's going to hit the county. You know, we could pick up somebody from Desert Hills and that type of thing, but what we're not getting is somebody up in Bullhead calling 911 and hitting our PSAP. And the instances of us hitting, being sent to, California Highway Patrol or San Bernardino has been significantly reduced.
So let's back up just a second to the text to 911 you were talking about. Does that mean I open up my text and go new and 911 and it goes?
Yeah.
Goes to you guys?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's helpful for somebody that can't speak. It's helpful if somebody's in a situation where they can't get on the phone and make a call.
Crisis situation.
Yeah. Crisis, and they're being quiet, and they're able to text. So it's a huge, huge thing to be able to have. And we've had it for quite some time, and we've had it because of the innovation of our dispatch center and the personnel there, that they went out and they found this and they instituted it. And we were probably one of the first in the state to actually have that capability because they found a separate standalone program that we were able to incorporate in our dispatch center.
I was just thinking, what if you texted 911 to 911, right? You text an emergency and it went to San Bernardino. That would not be good.
No.
Well, just to piggyback off of Dan, with the NextGen, their capabilities is to actually to send you a link if you're using a cell phone, and basically they can, instead of triangulating you, will know exactly where you're at, because the new programs are heavily based off of GIS. So it's going to provide the latitude longitude of your location. So like when you're out in Sarah Park and you get lost, the dispatch can actually send you a link, and it'll tell you exactly where you're at. So
it's so useful here.
Yes.
Is there any data as to what percentage of calls to 911 come from landline versus versus cell phones?
A lot more now. I mean, probably a heavy percentage of them are coming from cell phone, because do you use the landline at your house for anything?
Yeah, we haven't had one for
decades. I don't have a landline at my house anymore, and I think that's becoming the norm. I had it for the longest time when my kids were young as an emergency, that it was there. But now that, you know, they're grown and it's just me, I didn't even know the number to my home landline because I never use it. So yeah. That's the majority of people.
I think just now,
it's 80%.
80%.
80% sell?
Sell. Yep.
Wow.
So does this data that comes from the cell phone then go to your firefighters and your officers directly when they're responding to these to a 911
right.
call?
Right. So what you get is you get all the location information. So as the dispatcher enters it into the computer, into the CAD system, it's showing up on the firefighter's CAD in their truck or facility. Same thing for a police officer's vehicle. They're getting whatever information the dispatcher is inputting in, as well as the location, the GPS location.
Now, did someone say that pictures and images could be involved?
So there's a lot of capability with this system. We're waiting to see. I don't want to say that we're absolutely going to have that capability right away. They're supposed to. This upgrade is supposed to happen mid-June, and it's a very upgradable system. That's the key component of it. It's going to allow us to do a lot of upgrades. So technically, yes, at some point we're supposed to be able to do that. So I don't want to say it's going to happen next month. But
when we have this conversation a year from now, it's going to be a lot different conversation.
Oh,
I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow, that's phenomenal. All right, we've got a whole list of topics to talk about with Chief Dan Doyle, Chief Pete Palafis, both from the police and fire department here in Lake Havasu City, and us lowlifes, Brother Jim Russell and Paul Lavoie, right?
Yes. We're learning.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. This is, of course, for Chief Doyle, because it's Bob Seger, but yes. It's fire down below.
Oh, nice.
Oh. Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Hey,
something for everybody.
That guy is multi-talented.
Back with more in a moment. DJ Pauly with you on Speak Out. Always wait for that line, Chief. Wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then.
Yeah, words to live by.
Yeah, I bet people say that with law enforcement officers too, right?
Yeah. Could I get a retake?
can I get a mulligan on that 85 and a 70?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, Patio Paradise, also samsguns.com. Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, also Springberg Wealth Management. Don't forget the archives for this. You'll be able to hold Chief Pete and Chief Doyle to what they say are on KNTRTalk.com. Unless you're listening live, you can listen there as well as on the TuneIn app. And they're also, these go way far back on the Lake Havasu City app. Our archives are there, and that's available at Google Play and the Apple iStore. So you got to be really careful about, you know.
What you say.
Yeah, you might get canceled by part of Havasu.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Before we leave the 911 topic, just for curiosity, will this change, this upgrading, will it have more of an effect on the dispatchers and the 911 operators, or will it be of a greater benefit to the firefighters and police officers in the field?
So it's going to provide, the ones that are going to notice the biggest change really would be obviously the dispatchers, because they're in there, they have to learn the new system and stuff. But for the most part, it's going to provide additional benefits to officers and firefighters as far as information, locations. I'm not up on everything that it's going to provide at that point, but there's going to be a lot of benefits to the system. But the ones that are going to be impacted by it the most, that have the most training to go through, is going to be the dispatchers.
So we did mention the warmer weather earlier, and you got Sarah Park in that, and stranded hikers. That, but I want to talk more about pets and the warm temps. And the reason why is I played a gig recently, and somebody had left. I believe it was two dogs.
I just love when you say gig. When you played a gig.
Gets that in
there. The gig. Okay.
It's just no. I mean, it's just so cool.
We had a date. Anyway,
I feel hip when that I'm part of this.
Anyway, so somebody left. I believe it was two pets in a locked vehicle.
Right.
It was not running. And it's one of the first times I've ever been asked on a PA to alert a driver of a vehicle to get your dumb butt to the vehicle because your pets are locked in the car on a day when it was 100 degrees or more.
Yeah, so that'll, you know, add another 40 degrees inside that car at least.
Right, and since I have you and Chief Pete here, who responds on that? Who takes the lead on that type of call?
So if animal control, if
he points to you.
Well, they can show up if we need to get into the vehicle and we can't get in through a window. But animal control will handle primary if there's one available. If not, then a patrol officer would respond to it. It is a very serious thing, especially as we're coming into the summer months. We get people that think that, they'll leave the car running with the air conditioning on.
And we had a baby one.
Yeah,
year.
People. Yeah. There's been some horrible tragedies involving children. And so, number one, you should never leave any living thing unattended in a vehicle. But what gets really bad in Havasu is when we get up. You know, we're over 110, 115 degrees. Cars, you might think your car does really well and you could leave it alone for 10 minutes and the air is going to be fine, but if something happens, if the air conditioning cuts out, the inside of that car could be 150, 160 degrees very quickly. What that'll do to an infant or a young child is that does a lot of damage really quick, but more, also with pets. So it is a Class 1 misdemeanor to endanger a pet specifically, and a fine of up to $2,500 for that incident.
Class
so,
1 being the most serious,
yes, the most serious,
of any felony.
Yep, it's a misdemeanor. It's actually the charge is animal cruelty our city ordinance has animal cruelty ordinance, which basically parallels the state animal cruelty ordinance. There are some portions of animal cruelty that are a felony. So, and that's basically intentional, mostly it involves intentionally harming an animal,
right.
Not recklessly, but intentionally and knowingly, and then as well as harming a service animal could make it a Class 6 felony.
I've been talking about this subject, the next subject I want to bring up, off the air more than on the air, but I'd like to see where we have a sex offender registry. I'd like to see where we have an animal abuser registry.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's possible given the, current climate with, people, animal rights and that sort of thing. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on something like that? There's a lot of very serious crimes involving animals. There's people that go out and shoot horses for sport just outside of Kingman.
Well, I don't know that I want to comment on public radio when I haven't really given that much thought.
Okay.
But what I will say is that, anybody that intentionally harms an animal, there's something seriously wrong with you.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about hunting. Legitimate.
We're talking
hunting.
About domestic animals.
You're just dogs, torturing cats. An animal. Yeah. You're intentionally hurting an animal. There's something seriously wrong with you. So, I'd never really given thought to that. You have an interesting thought.
Sounds
there.
Good on the surface, though, doesn't it?
Well, that's something that needs to be well thought out because sometimes, with those type of registries, sometimes you could trap people into them that, as long as there was a criteria, somebody that's torturing animals,
right.
I have no problem.
Right.
But if you forget to, if you've accidentally forgot to let your dog back into the house.
That's different.
Yeah. You know, so.
Yeah, you go to jail for
that. Is the tough part about those registries. It has become a catch-all. Yeah. So,
but right, no, I mean, there's anybody that harms animals in that respect, there's something wrong with you.
Isn't that a beginning sign, one of the early signs of personality disorders that lead to axe murdering?
Absolutely. If you go back and look at a lot of those people, serial killers and, you know, that type of deranged individuals, sometimes that's some of the things you'll find is torturing animals, harming animals, and stuff.
Setting fires on purpose.
It's great listening.
Pyromania. Next is pyromania. That's our.
Yeah,
not,
right.
Not Def Leppard either.
Yes. I'll tell the jokes today. Is that all right?
Okay, yeah.
No, you do a great job at it, though.
Well, thank you.
I think, you know, with your pending retirement, stand up might be in your future. Could be. You should give me some great stories.
Are you kidding? Stand up is dangerous these days.
No, you're
building. Being attacked on stage.
Really? An ex police chief? I'm not going to attack you. I'm just saying. You just build 5 minutes at a time. I'm sure you have plenty of stories to do that.
Oh, there's stories.
All right, back with more in a moment. You're listening to Speak Out. We're with Chief Dan Doyle and Fire Chief Pete Palafis and Chief of co-hosts.
Good times.
The chief.
Chief of events.
I was trying to think of the chief, the tobacco, you know, what did they, I don't know.
I just refer to him as El Jefe.
Or Big Chief. we haven't said that yet.
No.
You dropped the ball on the Dia de los Jefes. Dia de los Dos, right?
Yeah, the two.
All right, back with more.
Not sure. I'm not sure if it's grammatically correct, but it sounds good.
I got to get control.
Maybe we'll get
here.
A Spanish teacher professor will call in.
Maybe we'll get a host who can get control of his guests. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. All right, Chief Doyle, hands out of your pockets. I want to see your hands. Now! Put those keys, lay the keys down on the floor, right?
Yeah.
No, these videos on YouTube, you're like, wow.
Oh, it's from videos? I thought it was from personal experience.
No. But one time, Sheriff Sheehan, Tom Sheehan, came in, and he took me totally by surprise. We opened the show, and he says, Paul, I need you to stand up and clear your pockets. It was a riot. Anyway. I miss that guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, I love Sheriff Schuster, but Sheriff Sheehan was a funny guy.
Yeah.
He had a very good sense of humor.
Well, Sheriff Schuster is actually a pretty funny guy.
Oh, yeah, he is.
If he likes you.
Funny
how. So, I don't know.
Funny how.
Not a funny ha-ha.
We learned something there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Speak Out, brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, Herbs, and by the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. And I'm pretty sure both of them will be on the show with Chad Hansen on Wednesday with the Real Estate Power Hour. Boom! And that is this Wednesday during Speak Out. And you got something to say about local business,
well,
right?
Well, I do. We all should be shopping locally, and these advertisers just want to do business with you. So give them a try. When you do, tell them you learned about them on Speak Out.
I got one for you, Jim.
Yes?
Buy local or bye-bye local.
That's true, too.
Love that one. All right. So, Chief Pete, I want to bring you into the conversation more because of talk about, you know, the heat and pets in parked cars and people in parked cars and that. What about heat stroke and how to catch it before it happens?
Okay. Well, you know what? Heat emergencies, there's really three that relate to the ultimate heat stroke. So you start out with heat cramps, heat exhaustion, and then it leads to the heat strokes. So just get really? To, yeah. The thing is,
the cramps are first, though.
Yep, cramps are first, and then exhaustion, and then you have the heat stroke because your body is unable to regulate the temperature. So it's trying to basically breathe sweat, and obviously when it gets very hot, you're dehydrated. You're not hydrated enough. You're basically losing all the fluid in your body, and your body just can't regulate. And we can obviously have severe medical emergencies with seizures, unconscious,
right.
And some people that develop heat stroke, kind of almost intoxicated. Mm-hmm. I mean that's yeah. what they present. You might mistakenly think they're intoxicated when they're basically just dehydrated and going to basically you could die from it.
I've been to stage one before while playing in very sure. hot temperatures, and yeah, it's not fun. But I've noticed that. Sometimes, you know, it's very, very hot, and I'm in a shaded environment. If I take the hat off, if I'm wearing a hat, you know, for sweat reasons or whatever, I take the hat off, I seem to cool off more, and everything goes away. Is there any truth to that?
You know, I'm sure there is possibly some truth. It's trying to fan your body
right.
and obviously cool down, but the best is drinking water, cooling off, getting out of the heat. But here it's hard to escape the heat.
Yeah.
Even if you go into the pool, you know, that's a quick, you know, relief of, you know, your body temperatures depending on what the pool is, too. I mean, there's been times that you swim here where it's like, God, it's not refreshing because the pool is so hot.
Right, right.
So I think the key things is recognizing your limitations, the conditions that you have, what, you know, medications that you're on, and just be smart about it. It creeps up fairly quick on you, and especially, you know, with our firefighters, too, doing firefighter operations at 100 and basically 1,520. God bless them.
Especially with all that gear on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Turnout
coats. Must
it's
be
like being in the
pleasant.
Car with the, you know, no air conditioning on. And, I mean, God bless them. That's why we try to aggressively rehab, recycle them as quick as possible. But that's what's so scary when you go out for the hike, especially the individuals that aren't locals or not aware of it. There could be consequences. And that's just sad. It's just be smart about it.
What should people who are trying to help someone do first?
Well, the thing is, call 911. If you have water, please give them water to cool them off, move them into a different area, and try to get them in a cooler environment.
Which is more valuable for them to drink the water or pour it on them?
Well, it just depends on what state you're in. I mean, the thing is, you want to cool their body because their body's at such a high temperature. If they're able to drink, you know, slow, you know, steady sips. But actually, the biggest thing is get them out of the environment, cool them down. So
wow, interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot behind it. But the thing is, as long as you're able to recognize and prevent it, it's good. But, I mean, people react to heat in different ways.
So I want to change the subject onto something that's just driving me crazy lately. Seriously, the four-way stops in this town, they're not. It's not that difficult, people. Really? It's like a standoff.
Because it's hot.
it's all year round.
It's the
like
transition
a standoff
here.
Every time you get to a four-way stop. It's like people waving, people doing this, people doing that. I'm like, no. There are rules to four-way stops, aren't there, Chief?
Yes, there are, and it was on everybody's driver's license test when they took their driver's license.
Oh, the right side rule, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
The four-way stops are really simple. If whoever pulls up first gets to go first.
Really?
If you pull up at the same time, yield to the right. So I laugh when you were saying that because that's one of the things I see that, you know, you get the person that pulls up and decides to be the traffic monitor and start waving everybody through or they're trying to be super polite and they sit there and keep waving everybody. They're actually making the problem worse because people pull up and they're, okay, it's your turn to go, but you're sitting there waving me, so now I go. Now the next person is like, you're just kind of throwing everybody off.
My thing is, I get there at the same time as the person, not to the right or left of me, but the person across from me,
right.
Coming the other way. I've got my signal on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So logic tells me if you're going straight, I'll turn after you go straight.
Right.
I'm not going to turn in front of you. That's a liability to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Yeah.
But they're always going, come on.
Right.
And I'm turning. Go straight. We'll make this easier.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do we need a class for this? I'm not kidding, Jim. Okay. I'm seriously not kidding.
We need a class for a lot of things.
No, I mean, I've lived in Vegas. I've lived in Laughlin. I've lived in Fort Mojave. I've lived in Mojave Valley. I've lived in Havasu. Havasu, by far, has the most four-way stops of any place I've ever lived per capita.
We do hold the record, I think.
Thank you.
In the Guinness World Book of Records.
So my thing is, the police department, this could be a revenue generator for you guys, man.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
We've solved all the budget problems.
Paul will conduct the classes.
We just have to do classes on four-way stops.
But it's not that difficult, is it?
It's really not. If everybody just follows the rules, but then again, if everybody followed the rules, they wouldn't run stop signs, they wouldn't speed, and they wouldn't do all the other things. So it's just the four-way stops, like I said, it's really simple. Whoever got there first goes. You only have to pay attention to four vehicles. Whoever gets there first goes first. If you get there at the same time, you yield to your right. And don't sit there and just keep waving everybody through because it confuses everybody. And go slow. Don't leave and accelerate so that if two people do make a mistake, you collide in the middle of the intersection. Just pull out and start moving, and people see you start moving, and they'll
hopefully stop.
Yeah. Or they play the game of everybody keeps inching and stopping. And
you like that one, yeah. Chief Pete?
I do.
You
yeah.
do.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
No. I mean, I've come in urban areas and had stop signs, but
the flashing stoplight. Yeah. It's easy.
Well, the thing is, when you have congestion and a lot more people in town, you can actually see the confusion and you see frustration. I think it's
what makes us unique, though. I think it adds to the charm of Lake Havasu City.
Isn't it nice that that's the kind of thing we get to worry about?
Yes.
Well, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
You got me there.
I've got a question for Chief Pete. I noticed a week or so ago there was an article in the paper that was to do with the spending of both of your departments or funding and things, and there was reference to, in your upcoming expenses, the refurbishment of that. What's the correct term?
The refurbishment of one of our fire engines. We currently have one in progress as we speak. It's in Henderson. Fire Trucks Unlimited is taking care of the refurb. They were the ones that won the bid process. And we should actually be getting that back in hopefully August, September. So what was the plan for the five-year plan is actually we bought a new one in refurb. That one's still, you know, being built, and it's not going to be here until 2023.
Gee.
Just because of the supply chain and just a delay in the manufacturer aspect.
There are Chinese parts on
it. Yeah, hope not. The thing is,
all made in America.
Yes, this is the what we're going to do is once we get the refurb back, and we're going to send another one out for refurb. So I actually see two refurbs before I even get a new one.
Wow.
So it's a pilot program that we're trying and to extend the life of our existing assets.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, our plan. Appreciate the support I've received from it. It just they're expensive, and when they get older, you just like anything, you just got to continuously maintain them. And then there's a time to say, okay.
And to see that cost for refurbishment is just seems so astronomical.
Well, the thing is,
compared to a new
one, yeah. So that's what we're trying to, you know, be fiscally responsible and try it out and see if it will extend our assets.
So how do you determine that it is time to refurbish it?
So we have a plan in place, and it's based on a lot of factors of the current condition of the rig, how many miles are on it, how many major malfunctions or major mechanical issues that we have had with it. We also do it by the year and lifespan of the rig. We should get about 20 years out of a rig. And And that varies.
20?
Ladders, yeah. I mean, that's our goal. But the thing is, with it also depends on the wear and tear that we have on it, the call volume. And the thing, too, is here we will actually rotate our rigs to even out the mileage on some of our slower rigs just to get more longevity out of it. So it's just not just we just like, oh, we need a new rig. We need it because I need to have reliable apparatus for our firefighters to serve our community.
Has there ever been an issue where one of your department's rigs has failed en route?
Yeah.
Has there really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
On your
work?
Well, the thing is, it happens. If I have mechanical error, with all the new emissions, it'll go into limp mode, and then it just doesn't go any further. So, yeah, it has happened, but then, obviously, we send another rig, and we have contingency plans for that. But the thing is, I mean, with the heat here, and we are busy. So
I need to clarify on your watch, by the way. I mean, since you've been
chief. Yeah, sure. And, I mean, it's happened in my career several times. I mean, even when I was, you know, my previous employer, when I was on the rig, I've had failures when we were responding to a call. You just hope that it doesn't happen on a fire.
Right. I like how he knocks on wood. I do that all the time. Exactly. I had so many other questions, and I guess one, we have time for is there any gas hoarding going on as far as people coming from other states filling up? Because it is happening in Bullhead City with their prices.
Well, you said our prices are higher than, I mean.
Right. They're higher there, but they're still not as high as California.
I haven't seen any issues, or we haven't seen any issues. We haven't been called to any gas spills or anything like that. It's just, you know, just be smart about it, especially when you're fueling up. I mean, you do see some YouTube videos that people are putting, you know, in their back of their pickup truck. The thing is, you could still start a fire. I mean, gas is flammable. But I haven't seen any incidents or
we've not had any reports. The last thing we had was last year when we had the people that go around and they have the fake fuel tanks and vans and such, and they're stealing fuel and stolen credit cards and that time. Yeah. But we've not been seeing any uptick in that from what you normally get.
I see photos posted by friends on social media of out of towners that fill up, you know, 5, 6, up to 10 gas cans sometimes.
Well, if you live in Needles, you definitely will come over and gas up here because it is a lot cheaper than, say, in Needles. So I know people in Needles that I know will actually come down here to gas up.
Yeah, and then drive back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, thanks for being on the show, guys.
Yeah.
Look forward to it every month.
Always a pleasure.
Yes, every third Monday.
Paul, real quick.
Yes, sir.
Happy Memorial Day to everybody. Be safe. Be smart. Also like to congratulate all of the graduates from the high school. So welcome to the real world. Good luck in college.
I like that.
Yeah, it's my graduation due. My youngest is graduating. So congratulations to you and to me because I'm done.
Yeah, good for you.
I'm done.
All right. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'm tired of being blue. Jim, where is Kathmandu? Do you have any IJSBA people that come in from Kathmandu?
No, I don't think we do.
No. Yeah. All right. Great show today. Thanks to the two chiefs.
Yes.
Dia de dos los. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, tomorrow we've got a race program coordinator, Todd Davison, on the show. He's the guy who goes out and monitors the desert to see if there's any illegal dumping going on. Those big dumps. Yeah, we'll talk to Todd about that. And then we've got two representatives from the Red Light Rebellions that are coming to Mojave County. We got to go, Jim.
Okay.
All right. Hannity is up next, preceded by Fox News. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.